There's nothing quite like singing a song like that and thinking, yeah, sure, everybody knows that one. Fantastic, Andrew. And I'm assuming that the sewing song had to do with the Bible class. So good job. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the North Second Street Church of Christ. My name is Jason Sage. I was so involved in trying to read those words that I did not turn my microphone on. So there you go. We are glad you're here. We have all manner of visitors. Some of you are new to us completely. Some of you are joined at the hip with others that we do know. Whatever the case may be, we are glad that you're here and that you've come to worship God with us today. If you did not get a bulletin, please get one of those on the way out, particularly for the members. If you've not heard, this is the first Sunday, and forgive the over-exuberance here, we got a variance. I never thought I would be excited to say that, but we have received a variance so that we can, Lord willing, build an auditorium here that will seat double the occupancy. As you can see, we are close to full as it is. And God's work should grow here. We are sowing the seed for that. And if we're going to sow the seed, we're going to need a barn to put it in. So we're hoping that that happens. And we're excited that that happens, because had that not happened, we were going to have to choose a completely different path. This lesson is a lesson that I usually call Christmas in July. And I do that because this is one of those subjects that needs to be taught, needs to be talked about. But I don't love doing it in the middle of holiday season. It seems to me like you can be kind of just intentionally over-explaining yourself sometimes, and maybe you're trying to maybe make a point that you shouldn't be doing that time of year. So whether or not we worship using Christmas as a holiday, a religious holiday, or whether we observe Easter as a religious holiday, those things do matter. Lent does matter. So we're going to talk about those things and why we do not do them here and why they're not found in the Bible. So that is our lesson today. I'm going to imagine many of you, nothing I say will be new today. No verse that I use will be different. For some of you, it may be. And if you have any kind of questions about those things, feel free to talk to me or one of the elders after services. Lies, Lent, Christmas, and Easter. Provocative title, yes. But I will tell you this, lies do no one any service in religion. If I lie to make you a Christian, if I tell you some falsehood, if I paint the gospel as something it's not, I haven't really told you the truth. And it is the truth, it is the word of God that makes Christians. So what have I done? I've used the wrong thing to make the wrong thing. You may not be confessing Christ as Lord. You may not be really repenting and turning in your life. If I just make Christianity seem like it's something other than it is, if I say to you, Jesus will never ask you to sacrifice. You just become a Christian today and everything's rainbows and sparkles. That's not true. So if I were to tell you that, and then 6 months later, a year later, you turn out and you read that Jesus says we have to give up our life and pick up our cross daily and follow him, you'd be like, hey, preacher man, what were you teaching me back then? So we don't lie to people. We don't lie to people. We tell you the truth. We hope that the truth matters to you. And we know that the truth has power. So we're talking about these three celebrations that the religious world does, that if you've come here for very long, you know that we do not. And they are based around two dates that mattered more to pagans than to Christians. You may look at these dates, and this may mean something to you. It may not. December 21st is called the winter solstice. That is the shortest day of the year as far as sunlight is concerned. In March, you have what's called the vernal equinox. That is celebrated when the day is the same length as the night. Well, you might think, well, who knows this? Ancient peoples knew this all the time. They did not have iPhones. They did not have televisions. And they did not have pollution in the sky. We have light pollution. We have different kinds of pollution. You know what they spent a lot of time doing? Being outside at night. They knew more about the stars than the average person does. They knew when these heavenly bodies aligned in such a way. In fact, if you look at pagan temples, they will have a situation where on one day of the year, light will shine in just such a way. So these people were completely aware of these pagan celebrations that had to do with the heavenly bodies. So in the springtime, they celebrated the fact that harvest time was come, that when the day was even like that, they knew it was time to plant the seed. The days were going to get longer and longer, and that would be the growing season. In the same way, it seemed as if darkness was winning, because the days are getting shorter as December went along, and you know how that is. If you're like me, are you a sad person? Anybody know what that means? Seasonal affective disorder. I'm kind of that way. You get me to February, I am ready to be outside, and I need some 70-degree temperature. Well, the pagans knew that December 21st, that was the day when light was at its least, that darkness seemed to be winning. But on December 21st, it turned around, and the sun was reborn. Sound familiar? Well, what happened is you had Christianity begin to grow, particularly in Scandinavia and in Western Europe. You had these pagans who had these traditions, these festivals for fertility festivals in the spring and for the rising of the sun, or even pagan gods were associated with December 21st. Well, if the church at the time had an attitude, if you can't beat them, join them. So they took these pagan celebrations and they made them Christian in some way. So they ended up with this idea that Jesus was born on December the 25th. So what they would say to their pagan people as they conquered them is, listen, you're going to have to at least go along with us here. We want you to stop doing the pagan festivals, but if you won't stop, let's at least call them Christian. So that's how we ended up with the celebrations of Easter and Christmas. Now at this point, I don't know what's going on in your head. Depends on how many times you've heard the sermon. You may be sitting there thinking, what is wrong with this old man? He's a crazy person. Everybody knows Jesus was born on 25th. Why is he mad at Easter? Does he not like Easter eggs? Not only do I love Easter eggs, I love the little sugar ones that are the hide-and-seek eggs that are nothing but sugar in the middle and a little orange or pink outside. Man, I have to stop myself from eating bags of those things. I'm not anti the celebration of Easter. Please don't get me wrong. I am against lying to people. My son is here. What if I go all his life I say, Jesus was born on December 25th. And we know for a fact that on Easter, that's when Jesus rose from the dead. That's the day. And we're going to celebrate these things and do all these things. And I tell him that, and I tell him that, and I tell him that. And one day he reads his Bible. And he goes, wait a minute. That's not in there. And then maybe even worse than that, maybe some atheist comes along and makes fun of his Christian faith because he says, well, you're just copying all the pagan celebrations of December 21st. All the gods prior to Jesus were born on December 21st. Don't you know that? And it would bother his faith. It might destroy his faith. But it won't be because I lied to him. Because I'm going to tell him the truth. We don't know when Jesus was born. So we don't celebrate a day that is not found in the scripture to say Jesus is born for it to be an article of faith for you to lose. It was a long sentence. All right, so that's the idea today. We're going to take a look at these three festivals, really two festivals, and then the lesson will be yours. Look at Matthew chapter 2 quickly, if you don't mind. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 2, this is a real billboard that came up in 2012. This is by a group called American Atheist. This is the billboard. It got a lot of people excited. This made national news. I will tell you something. They are exactly right. You know it's a myth. You know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. They are exactly correct. Why would we base a religious celebration around something we know is wrong? We know did not happen on that day. If we go around and tell people, say, we have the truth, you want the gospel, you want to get to heaven, you want to get to where God is, come worship us where we tell you Jesus was born on December 25th. If I'm lying to you about that, teenagers are hypocrisy detectors. So if I grow up all my life telling my child that Jesus was born on December 25th, and they find out that's not true, then I'm lying to them about the one thing in his life that must be true. It is more important that our religion be true than anything else in this world. If it is not true, we're not to be believed. Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 15, in talking about the resurrection, he says, we're preaching the resurrection. If I'm preaching that Jesus was resurrected by God himself, if that is a lie, then I'm lying about God. You see what he said, means there? So for us to say something about Jesus that would be a lie would be to lie about God. So what do we know about this scene? This is the wise men going to the nativity scene. What do we know about it? We know that none of this is biblical. None of it. The nativity scene with the wise men coming to him is a made up, is a sewn together act of two different things that happened at two different times. When Jesus was born, he was born in a manger, outside the inn. But by the time the wise men get there, the Bible tells us something different. This is Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And going into the house, these are the wise men, if you want to write this down for context, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Where does it say there that Christ was in a manger? He was not at this point. So if I make a nativity scene and I tell people the wise men came and worshiped Jesus when he's in the manger, what am I doing? I'm telling them an untruth. I'm building their salvation on something that is not true. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16. Now, this is a little bit different. We're using Herod's reasoning here. Herod, of course, is the king of the time. The wise men come to Herod and go, hey, there's a king born over here. And, of course, Herod's first reaction is, oh, well, there won't be for long. Matthew 2:16, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under. So it shows that Herod at least thought that it had been a while since Jesus had born, maybe as much as 2 years. That's what the Bible says. That's not what the world teaches. So what's the point? Preacher, why are you spoiling everybody's fun? Why, everybody's trying to enjoy the holiday season, and you're just coming along and making everything not fun. We don't allow that because they're not in the Scriptures. If I follow something that is not in the Scripture, that is not in the Word of God, I am not following what is true. And the Bible tells us that we are not to add to or take from the Scriptures. Now you've heard that a thousand times in your life, many of you have, but it's an important concept. I am not God. I cannot tell you the mind of God other than what has been revealed to us in the written word. That is what I can tell you is true. That is what I can tell you God has revealed to us. To add something to that is to add not God's will, but mine. If you want to look up something interesting, look at the early Christian pilgrims here in this country, in the United States. They talked about the phrase will worship. Will worship. It comes from Colossians chapter 2. The idea was simple to them. If they saw it in their Bible, it was worshiping God. If they decided to do something other than in the Bible, it was man's will that be done. And that was worshiping my ability to change God's law, or will worship. To celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ with a Christmas celebration is will worship. It is not found in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4:2, you're familiar with it. It's also in chapter 12. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. This one is used quite a bit. In fact, you may be more familiar with it than one out of Deuteronomy. I think it is always pertinent to add here that most certainly the specific reference to the plagues of this book have more to do with the book of Revelation than the New Testament, granted. But I would tell you that the principle is the same. Look at verse 18 and 19. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life, in the holy city, which are described in this book. Is this serious? Yes. Yes, it's serious. It's serious because we want to be people of truth. It's serious because we want to be people of the Word of God. And it's serious because God himself says, do not add to or take away from the teaching or the function of the church. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to each other. Do not lie to each other. If this lesson is new to you, and you're sitting out there and you don't know whether what I'm telling you is the truth, first of all, you're welcome to ask. You should ask. I would say to you, seek the Scriptures. I'll be glad to show you more about why I say this or believe it. But the celebration of Jesus' birth on December 25th, and even the religious celebration of Christmas itself, are unknown to Scripture. You're saying, why aren't you showing me the Scripture that says, don't observe Christmas? I don't show you that Scripture because it's not something Christians observed in the first century. There is no observation of Christ's birth as a religious holiday. Yes, the virgin birth is recorded in the text, but nowhere does it say, and then Christians on a certain day worshiped God because his son was born on December 25th. It's not in there. It's just not in there. So let me ask you this. If we were going to have a celebration of Christ's birth, how would we do it? What instruction would we turn to in the New Testament to show when and how we should worship God in that way? You're beginning to see the problem. Not only is it not mentioned, there's no way for us to understand how God would want us to acceptably work it into our worship. So what do we do? I sense some of you going, the uneasiness of hearing the sermon. And I tell you why it makes us uneasy. It makes us uneasy because as we get closer and closer to Easter and closer to December 25th, what do you begin to feel like? We're the weirdos. We're the kooks. The whole world is interested in this one thing. We're just sitting over here not doing it. Right? If somebody knows that you're religious, how's your passion play? How's your Christmas play? Do you have live animals in your Christmas play? And if you think that's not a thing, there kind of was a war of Christmas plays a couple of years ago up on 41A, and people brought in camels. So that's a real thing. But I'll tell you this. The world doesn't understand the things that are going on in your mind. If this sermon is giving you doubts, the rest of the world thinks we're just nuts for sure. But I beg of you to do this. Search the Scriptures. And ask yourself, where is it there? If you can't find it there, can I find you a scripture that says, do not add to or take away from it? Yeah. Yeah, I can. We'll find several. So what do? If we want to be Christians, if we want to follow the Word of God, we don't do things He told us not to do. And here's the important part. Jesus did rise from the dead. Jesus did rise from the dead. That is true. If I tell you, if I surround that truth with falsehood, what are you supposed to do? I tell you what I would do. If I were new to Christianity and I found out 60% of what you told me about Christmas was a lie, I'd run from you. I wouldn't come back. I would not seek to know what you think the Word of God is. You want to know the truth. And so... I'm 58 years old. My children are in their 20s. I never wanted to face them and them come and ask me, Dad, why did you teach me this? So as hard as it may be in December, and as hard as it may be in March or April or May, we do not observe those things as religious holidays. And we explain them to our kids. They go to school and they think they're weird. Because their mean old preacher daddy won't let them celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. But I will tell you this, there will be a time in their life when they need to know the truth. And there will be a time when they need to know that their parents and their church and their minister and their elders have not lied to them. Luke 24, verse 1. Why should you believe me on this subject if I'm lied to you about something else? Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Luke 24, 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Sorry, I lost my place there for a second. But when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living with the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you why he was still in Galilee." Why do you seek the living with the dead? What a powerful phrase. He is not here. He rose. When did that occur? Can I show you a Bible verse that says when that occurred? Yes. I can show you more than one. On the first day of the week, Jesus really did rise from the dead. Jesus really did ascend later into heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Jesus has provided his blood on the cross so that we can overcome a law that did nothing but convict us, did nothing but curse us. Through the grace of God, through his Son, we have salvation for those who have faith and who obey Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these truths in which we can base our life. Thank you for the Word who guides us. Thank you for the trustworthiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is no lie. It is no lie. And it is the source, the fountain of our salvation. Well, what has this done? What about this idea of observing the resurrection? Do we not observe the resurrection? We observe the resurrection. Christians meet on Resurrection Day. This is the North Second Street Church of Christ. Guess when we meet? On the first day of the week. Why do we do that? In fact, we talked about the idea that one of the proofs of the fact that Christianity is real, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is the change that occurred in people's habits. If there had been no Jesus, why would a people arose who worshiped Jesus on the first day of the week? It never would have happened. Jews stopped observing the Sabbath day. Jews began to observe their worship day on the first day of the week. Why did that happen? Because Jesus is real, and he really did rise from the grave on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:2. We talk about that all the time. Let each of you lay by and store something on every first day of the week. The reason it's every first day of the week is that's when Christians meet. Why do Christians meet on that day? Because that's when Jesus was raised from the dead. Acts 20 and verse 7. We came together on the first day to break bread. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. John there says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We refer to the first day of the week many times as Sunday, and that's fine. But biblically, it's the Lord's day. Do you want to know why? Lord there doesn't mean Jehovah God, the Father. It means Jesus, the Son. It is the Son's day because that is the day when he proved victory over death. That is the day when God gave the sign for all time, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The resurrection is the great sign of all time that Jesus is the Son of God. And it changed who we are and what we do. So we don't observe an Easter festival once a year. And I'll tell you something about that, by the way. I wrote the number down. Let me get it right here. Have you ever looked up the idea of the date of Easter? I encourage you to do that. There are many dates for Easter. You know that because, right, sometimes it comes in March, sometimes it comes in April, whatever. Do you know that the Western Catholic Church, what we call Roman Catholicism, and the Eastern Catholic Church, Orthodox religion, do you know that they have not agreed on the date of Easter for years? Do you know how long it's going to be before they will? I wrote this down. The year 2698. 2698. Do you know why they have trouble with that? Because there's no celebration of Easter in the New Testament. There's no annual feast called Easter in the New Testament. You can do a search right now. If you have a King James, you will get a mistranslation in Acts 12:4. But in every other translation of the Bible, other than the King James, the word Easter or Christmas are not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. So should we observe them? No. If you observe them as an individual, if you want to have a period of time in the winter where you give gifts and talk about Santa Claus, that is fine. If you want to get together, and I'll take all the hide-and-seek Easter eggs you can give me, you want to get together and you do that, that's fine. But we should never come together as God's people and say, God said to do this. Because when we add God said to do this, then we are lying not only to someone we're talking to, but we're lying about Jehovah God and His Word. So if you come here during April or March or whenever it may be that year, don't expect an Easter service. If you come somewhere around December 25th, don't expect a Christmas Mass. And there's one other thing that I want to touch on, and I've never really preached about this too much, but it's something that bothers me quite a bit. I have noticed on social media many Christians, many people I know, who on the day of Ash Wednesday, you know what I'm going to say, on the day of Ash Wednesday, they'll have a picture of themselves with the ashes. You know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. I'm from Blytheville, Arkansas. We don't have a lot of Catholics in Blytheville, Arkansas. I had never been around. I'm telling you a true story. I had never been around people who put ashes on their forehead for religious observance until I was at, working in Hopkinsville, and a dear friend of mine and a couple other people came into the office that day with the ashes on their forehead. That is the beginning of a season of fasting that is not found in the Scripture. No Ash Wednesday either. So you've got one religious festival in Easter spawning two other celebrations. And I have seen so many Christians who I love talk about the fact they're giving up something for Lent. Now listen, you give up and you fast for whatever reason you want to. But to say that it is a religious ordinance that I must observe a fast to get prepared for Easter is also not biblical. In fact, the fact that I know you're fasting is a sure sign you're not doing it right. Come back tonight, by the way. We'll talk about the proper way to speak in tongues. You heard me. Be here tonight. Jason Sage says we're going to talk about the proper way to speak in tongues. That's called a tease. So what's the proper way to observe a fast? Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Let me turn over there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says this. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you have fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Now, I mean, you ever read something and you see somebody doing a religious thing and you're like, man, it's almost as if God is reaching down and telling them not to do it. It's almost as if God is reaching down and telling them not to do it. Wash your face. Come on. When you fast, Jesus is not against fasting. When he says, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites, because they moan around and talk about how, oh my, I haven't had anything to eat all day, and they want you to look at me, look at me, look at me. Jesus is laying down a principle that says, no, you act as if you're not fasting, and God, who sees in private, will reward you. So if you decide to give up something for Lent, what you're really doing is you're saying Easter is real, Easter is right. You're really saying Ash Wednesday is right, and you're saying it's right to observe Lent as a religious festival. As soon as you find that in Scripture, I will begin to observe it. And I don't mean that. This is not a gauntlet I'm throwing down. I mean genuinely, if you were to show me where that was the case, I would repent, and I would begin to you see me next March with ashes on my forehead. But it's not there. And to say that it is a lie. Now, I'm not talking about other people. That's their business. And this is not anti-Catholicism per se. Okay? You name it. You name any group that observes Christmas or Easter, we're talking about that. Why do we care? Because the Bible tells us we're to observe the traditions handed down by spoken word or by letter, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, if you want to know. And there is no command by spoken word or by letter that tells us to observe Christmas, Easter, or Lent. So if there's not, why do I come around and say, it is the religion of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ observes this religious festival in this way to honor Jesus Christ? That sentence doesn't make sense. So, I know it's July, and the last thing on your from your mind is Santa Claus. And the last thing on your mind is Easter ham. Well, maybe Easter ham's a little closer to your mind than Santa Claus. Especially the longer I preach. If I stayed up for about 15, 20 minutes, I figure I'd get some ham references. You enjoy your Easter ham. You enjoy a time of giving with your family. But do not base your religious practice on something that is not true. Please do not tell someone that Jesus was born on December 25th. Please do not tell someone that we're supposed to observe Christmas as a religious holiday. Please do not tell someone that we know the day. We know the day, the first day of the week, but we don't know otherwise which day Jesus rose from the dead, and religious people can't agree about it for another 600 years. Because what we are asking people to do, what Jesus is asking people to do, is serious, and it is hard, and it is true. Put your faith in a man who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, gave his life on the cross, shed his blood so that you might have forgiveness of sins. To some people, that sounds a little out of whack. Is it going to take some teaching and some preaching? Yes. But it's going to take the fact that they know I'm not lying to them, first of all. And the moment they find out that I've told them an untruth about one thing in religion, they'll believe I'm telling them a lie about everything in religion. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible tells me so. I know when those things happen on the first day of the week. I know how I'm to observe them. We've already done that today. Should I praise God that He raised His Son from the dead? Yes. Should I do it any certain day? No. Today is a good day to praise God. So that's our lesson. You might sit there and think, well, that was no fun at all. It's not about being fun. Although we come to the fun side, man. Let me just tell you right now, we've got the good life. We have forgiveness of sins. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen, come Lord Jesus. He could come right now as far as I'm concerned, and I mean that. Take me, Lord. Amen, come quickly. To get to that place, I have to have faith that something is real and true. And I believe that my God is real. I believe that His Son died on the cross. I believe God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's at His right hand now, and that if I die before He comes, that I will be lifted up to join Him in the air and to ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where I want to go. I have immense faith that that is true. I want you to come along. Do you know that your conscience can be clean? Do you know you can go to bed at night knowing you're going to heaven and be free of sin, free of death, living a life indwelled by the Spirit of God, praising Him and waiting to go to be where He is because you have a down payment of the eternal life you will live with the Father and the Son and the Spirit? If you want that, that's the good side. Come to us this morning. Come to Jesus as we stand and we sing.